Natural Living with Gary Null, exploring the nature and politics of medicine, health, nutrition, and the environment. And now your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to the program. Today, our program is a little earlier than our normal noon time because we're going to be spending a lot of time talking about abuses in psychiatry. This is a part of an ongoing, in-depth investigative reporting series. It's meant to try to help us understand what we need to do to empower ourselves so that we have knowledge of what is efficacious and what is not, and whether we should accept or challenge the label so arbitrarily given today. It seems as if absolutely every single normal previously condition is now pathologized as a disease, to be labeled and then, after that diagnosis, to be treated. And the treatments are ones that can cause debilitation, even death. So, after spending almost 3 years looking at all the world literature, interviewing hundreds upon hundreds of individuals who've been through the psychiatric system, including psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, I have just about completed the series. Hopefully we will today complete that series. Before we go to our series today and be speaking with a psychiatrist from who opposes electroconvulsive therapy and victims who have not been given a form to tell their story, you'll be hearing people who went into an office of a psychologist, psychiatrist, simply because they were going through some temporary crisis. We all go through them. The difference is that in one case, when someone's dog died and they were feeling a little down about it, it ended up they were diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Now, this is a person 53 years of age who've never had any problems whatsoever and found that they were then getting electroconvulsive therapy, which erased out all their memory, including the memory that they had of their career, literally could not function. And yet the psychiatrist pride themselves in having helped this person. The person says, how'd they help me? They took away my memory. They took away my skills. They took away my life. Ernest Hemingway, after his second electroconvulsive therapy for depression, shot himself, killed himself, because as he had said to his friend, they took away my skill, my memory. So it's time, I believe, that we took an honest look at our entire mental health field. And that will include looking at our children as being nothing but diseases to which Ritalin is the answer. And by the way, if you think that's an overstatement, 7 million American children each day must take a prescription medication before they can go to school. What happened? What happened in the last 20 years? My generation, the baby boomers, we didn't have attention deficit disorder because there is no such thing. We didn't need Ritalin. We certainly didn't see everyone walking around on tranquilizers or getting electroconvulsive therapy. Well, now it is epidemic. We're going to take a look at this in depth. Before we go there, however, we just want to take a few moments to remind people that we're here to support the efforts of those individuals, both on air and off air, in front and behind the microphones, the producers, and everyone who feels that BAI, a long and very highly recognized stations for its ability to bring socially relevant material to our listeners, needs your support. Yes, there are issues going on, and there are camps and fields, and I respect people's having differences of opinion. That's one of the things that's made this station unique. But right now, we want to see if we can keep BAI on the air and alive. There are many voices heard that are very crucial to the various communities they serve. And there are other voices that we hope will have a chance once again to be shared. Right now, we're giving you the best that we have. I'm trying to show that before you take a tranquilizer, before you accept electroconvulsive therapy, before you accept one of these retreats that end up being psychiatric hospitals that are there to rip you off, that you consider the information we're going to be sharing over the next many hours, possibly the next 4 hours. So Let's go to Matthew, because I want to give a little time to do a little pitching, because we're going to go a long period of time before we do, because I have several guests that I'm going to get on in this particular segment. Plus, I'm going to be completing my commentary on brain changes, brain damage, permanent damage from electroconvulsive therapy in just a few moments. For those of you who have been listening, we've been offering some rather unique premiums, and they're exclusive and unique in that, well, quite frankly, you can't get them anywhere else. The Joy Juicing, the new book, which is a fun book. It, for all of you in this audience who've had any challenge about making your diet more interesting, more creative, more tasty, and more healthy, this book will do it for you. And the Joy Juicing is being offered, and we'll go into that in a few moments. And we have some brand new premiums today. In fact, I think we have four new premiums today, and I just want to make sure that our friends, Matthew, and studio have your premiums. Matthew, how are you today?
Well, I'm fine, and they're working at registering those premiums right now. I don't know if Richard has spoken to Jenny.
Yeah, I was just talking to the public affairs director, and he is registering those premiums right now, and we'll have an update for you in about 5 minutes or so.
But in the meantime, Gary, if you want to break them down and describe them to us, we'll ask the audience to listen closely, take your notes and all the rest, so that when you do call in on the pledge line, you can get those items. Shall
and
we
that,
go?
And that pledge line, excuse me, is 209-2950, just to get
in
you
the 212 area
a head start on
that. So, Gary, if you want to talk about what these new premiums are, we can go from there.
Okay, I can. When will people be able to actually get them?
Well, I think once they're registered, people can do the calling in and,
yes,
and pick them right up.
And I mean, on the other side of the drive, you know, at the first week in June, we will be able to get those premiums out just as soon as we get them in here.
That's right. That's right. But as far as pledging, Gary, for those premiums, I think we can take care of that in just a few minutes. But if you want to take a little time at the top to describe what they are before you move on, I think we're fine.
Okay. By the way, just as a question, do you have any static on the line?
Do we have static on the line? No.
Okay. Good.
The line
then it's just on
quite clear.
Okay. It's just on my end. Here are the. Let me run through all the premiums real quick. The first premium for people in the audience who have not heard the show at this time, because I'm on at noon, is the Joy of Juicing. All the different juices that make a difference in our health, but made tasty, delicious. And I have everything from ones that will detoxify and cleanse and rebalance and help your liver and spleen and your gallbladder, to the Fatigue Buster, which will give you energy throughout the day so you don't have to artificially jolt your adrenals to stimulate adrenaline with caffeine or sugar. So it's a great way with these juices to wean yourself off coffee and colas and even cigarettes. For if you have had problems with your lungs, with emphysema or asthma, I have lung tonic juices, great for helping to clean the lungs and stimulate. I have stomach settlers for people who have upset stomach and indigestion juices. And I have skin elixirs and relaxation juices. I have aphrodisiacal juices for men and women. I have what's called Prostate Pro, which is for the prostate gland, and it's a juice. And I have for the children who are very finicky, I have the orange berry lime slush and the papaya shakes and protein shakes. So you're getting all your complex carbohydrates, important proteins, but all in vegetable form, and delicious. Now, that's just part of the book. Another part of the book gives you real meals like breakfast, lunch, dinner, salads, soups, entrees, and desserts. But I'm talking about many, 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 that so you can be eating for months from this one book. And every single ingredient in this book, I included healing nutrients. And these are allergy-free, so anyone who has allergies, which are a lot of people, especially kids, and a lot of overweight people are partly overweight because their body is allergic to an item, and then it holds on to the weight. So I've seen many, many people lose weight just by changing the kind of food they're eating. This is not a calorie-restricting or fat-free diet. Fats are important. They're healthy. They provide important nutrients to our body. But there's healthy fats. You're only going to get the healthy fats with this. And you won't be counting calories because you won't have to. It's a way to lose weight. And it's a way to get healthy. And it's a way to detox and cleanse. And a lot of people, look, we're going into the summer now. It's a perfect opportunity for people to really make a commitment to get their house in order. And this book, The Joy of Juicing, will help put you on that road. So that's our one of our lead premiums. And it's not in any bookstore. Won't be for over a month, month and a half. So it's ours, and we got the publisher to give us a special edition just for WBAI. So that's one. Now, fellas, you want to tell people how they can get it?
Yes, you can call us up at area code 212-209-2950 for those new packages, the audio cassette packages, and of course Joy of Juicing and the Baby Boomer's Guide to Life also available. We have some folks in tally right now ready to take your calls. Certainly could use a few more. I'm certain of that. You can make your pledge by MasterCard or Visa or American Express, and that speeds the plow a little bit. Two people on the line right now. We can look for three more of you. We're going to be here a good chunk of the time, so we can start it out a little slow, and we'll be getting directly into programming very, very soon. Part one, again, we'll be at this well into the afternoon, an expanded natural living, starting off in the wax philosophic slot. Area code 212-209-2950.
That's the number to call. You can make your pledges via Visa, MasterCard, or American Express by calling 212-209-2950. The Joy of Juicing, Creative Juicing, Creative Cooking with your juicer and or blender, as a matter of fact. For a pledge of $75, for a pledge of $100, you'll get the Baby Boomer's Guide to Getting It Right the second time. 212 for a pledge of $100, 212-209-2950 as a package. You can get them both, juicing and the Boomer's Guide, for a pledge of $150 by calling 212-209-2950. Keep the station in and of itself on the air so that this program and other programs can be brought to you without commercial interference and interruption. 212-209-2950. And as Matthew was just saying, this is an extended edition of Natural Living with Gary Null. Gary Null usually occupies these airways Monday through Friday from 12 to 1 p.m. We'll be going well past that this afternoon. As a matter of fact, we just started a few minutes ago at 10 a.m., a little bit past 10 a.m., and we'll be going to about 1 or so this afternoon. 212-209-2950. Make your pledge. $50 subscription to WBAI. Get you started. If you'd like to become a regular member of WBAI, you can do that as well. 212-209-2950. Join
three
those callers on the line right now.
If you like a mushroom lasagna, but made without wheat, and a fettuccine with pesto and tomatoes, all natural, and zesty Italian pizza, mushroom broccoli quiche, but made without eggs or cheese, but it will taste like eggs, and it'll taste like it has cheese. That's part of the joy of this cookbook, and that's why I call it The Joy of Juicing, even though it's more than juicing, and more than health drinks, and more than tasty. It's the joy of knowing you can make a spicy Texas chili that tastes like it has meat in it, but does not. Ham and eggs, but has no ham and has no eggs. But it looks like it, smells like it, tastes like it. Curried red lentil stew, lentil burgers. And for those of you who like fish, we have halibut with tomato salsa, and salmon with teriyaki sauce, and sole with walnut peanut sauce, and grouper with herbal basil, and matar penner, and stir-fried broccoli, and zesty cauliflower with garlic and tahini, and delicious recipes for desserts like strawberry shortcake and cherry pops, all types of cleanse. And by the way, every single thing, even a dessert, I made it so that it would also be a detoxification dessert. For example, a tropical ambrosia pudding. Now, when was the last time you had a tropical ambrosia pudding? They're generally so rich, so loaded with sugar and cream that it's not healthy for people. But there's no sugar, there's no dairy in any of my recipes. This is a vegan cookbook. So it's all tropical, and but it's rich because I use a silken tofu. And I show you how to do it with pureeing bananas and tofu. Now, these are my own little tricks, and I'm sharing these tricks with you so that you'll know how to make a dish interesting. And a pineapple orange upside down cake with a special a French custard top.
Gary, you're being very cruel to our listeners right now. They're people who are sort of just getting out of bed, you know, the late night folks getting out of bed, and this is cruel to them. You know, if you're sitting there with a jar of peanut butter in the cupboard and some rancid milk in the fridge, and you're hearing us talk about these mate ponier and the like and tropical fruit punches. Well, it's working, actually. We have four people calling in right now, 212-209-2950.
And more than that, tell me what would be a common dish for most Americans?
Common dish for most Americans? Well, I hate to say it. The burger and fries tends to be the burger and fries, or a slice of pizza tends to be the most common dish, you know, for most Americans. I know that's not something you want to duplicate in your juicer.
Well, let me give you an idea. I asked people, what are your favorite junk dishes? And, of course, the burgers were at the top of the list. So what I did was I made burgers that taste like hamburgers for those who want that. And, in fact, I made it with the onion and the tomato and the coleslaw and the mayonnaise. But there's no fat. There's no cholesterol. There's no animal proteins. Absolutely not. My hamburger is made from all natural ingredients by combining certain nuts and grains together. It is absolutely indistinguishable. But then, like so many Americans who want their cholesterol lowered and want to be healthy, you don't want regular mayonnaise. So I show you how to make a natural mayonnaise. I give you several choices. Like I give you a dill spicy mayonnaise, where I use lemons and fresh dill. And I give you soy, and so that there is no dairy, no eggs, and yet it's absolutely indistinguishable, because I had to make it so that everybody would like it who's wanting to make a transition. The trouble is, in America, we have a relatively tiny American population of 3% eating healthy, and one of the reasons we don't have a higher percentage eating healthy is they don't like the way a lot of the healthy foods taste, because they're used to spicy, crunchy, salty, sweet, soft, certain a mouthfeel. You want to remind yourself of something that gave you comfort and joy when you've eaten it in the past, no matter how bad it was for you. So I had to take that into consideration when I was creating the joy of the joy of juicing. So I made a curry mayonnaise, a Dijon mayonnaise, a dill mayonnaise, but it gives you all that mouthfeel, smell, taste. And anyone eating these dishes would swear that they're unhealthy, because they're too good tasting to be healthy. And yet, they're not only healthy, but they're super healthy to your immune system. Look, in my mayonnaise, I put turmeric. That's anti-cancer. Cumin. That's anti-parasitic and antiviral. Mustard powder. That's anti-cancer. Ginger. Immune enhancing and antibacterial. Cinnamon. Can kill over 200 different types of bacteria. Cayenne pepper. Lowers the blood pressure, great for circulation. I'm just giving you an idea that when I say I put healing ingredients in every dish, you won't taste the healing ingredients. You won't even know they're there, but they're there. So you're getting taste for your favorite dish. So if you've got a fussy and finicky eater in your family who don't want to eat the health stuff because it doesn't taste good, now it does. So every dish that they'd like, I've given you a natural alternative to it. And they want a tuna salad? Fine. I've made a zesty tuna salad that's much better and got all the right ingredients that you wouldn't normally be eating. And easy to prepare. I give you the recipe. So you get the juices, the cleansing juice, the detox juices, the energy juices, the stimulating juices. You get the slushes, the protein shakes. You get the desserts, salads, breakfasts. You get everything. So food can be fun. It can be healthy. Now you can lose the weight. Now you can make the transition with the Joy of Juicing cookbook.
All right, and that is available for you with our thanks for those of you who can pledge at the $75 level. Now, veteran listeners to Natural Living, which normally you would hear starting at 12 noon, know the title, The Joy of Juicing, from a previous book. The title is the same, but the content is way, way different in this book. And, of course, most, if not almost all of these recipes can be adapted to the blender. And some of them use juicer and blender. So most of them are you don't need to have the juicer to make most of the recipes in this book. So we've got three people on the line right now. We've got, that means we have open lines. Thank you. That's the second caller in. We're looking for about four more of you to make your call in to pledge. Again, $50 is the basic membership, $75, and you can get the Joy of Juicing cookbook. We'll be hearing about other packages in just a few minutes, things that are about specifically women's health and a great many other issues. You can pledge in for that. And we have three people on the line. By the way, the Wax Philosophic Premium, the $75 double CD that Anastasia and Marv were telling you about last week, still on the table if you want to pick that one up. Two callers on the line. There's also the Baby Boomer's Guide to Life, Getting It Right the Second Time Around. That volume from Gary Null is available for your pledge of $100. So there are a lot of choices out there, and we're trying to keep the prices reasonable. Speaking of reasonable, you can get both books, The Joy of Juicing and Gary Null's Baby Boomer's Guide to Life, for a pledge of $100. Let's see this tally move now so we can get back into the first segment, the first uninterrupted 30-minute segment of programming.
First uninterrupted segment of Natural Living with Gary Null. Speaking of reasonable, $50 is a regular subscription to WBAI.
That's right.
If you can do that, put forward $50. Pledge to this station to keep the station on the air and to keep Natural Living right where it is. $50, $25 if you're a student or senior citizen. If you'd like to get the Joy of Juicing, then do that.
$75.
If you'd like to get the Baby Boomer's Guide, it's $100. Do that. If you'd like them both, do that as well.
Do that as well.
$150. Hold on for a second. $150. Pledge the money to the station. Keep the station on the... If you don't want to do it, don't do it. But we want you to do it because the station is important. We'd like to hear from you now at 212-209-295.
Do I have a witness?
You've got a witness.
I have a witness.
You have a witness. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. Pledge to the station. Keep the station on the air, and then we can go on with the business that is at hand.
212-209-2950. We've got two people on the line right now. And,
okay, let's go to the show.
Okay.
All right. And we're going to come back a little bit, but we're going to get right into the program right now. I'm going to take us in about 5 seconds.
Yeah, okay. 5 seconds. 212-209-2950. Let's give them a little of the first thing.
Okay, and you can call in, make your pledge while we go into segment one of the program, Natural Living with Gary Null.
You're tuned to WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM, listener-sponsored, commercial-free community radio at 99.5 FM. Stay tuned for Natural Living with Gary Null.
Natural Living with Gary Null, exploring the nature and politics of medicine, health, nutrition, and the environment. And now your host, Gary Null.
And welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Null. We are continuing with our ongoing, in-depth, original investigative reporting series on abuses in psychiatry, specifically challenging the so-called legitimacy, science, and efficacy behind electroconvulsive therapy. Before I continue with my discussion, I would like to introduce someone who has some important insights to share as well, because he has been in the front line of trying to educate us about some of these difficulties. He is Dr. Dan Fisher. He is a psychiatrist in Massachusetts. He challenges the widespread use of electroconvulsive therapy. He has testified in Massachusetts legislative hearings, and he has testified in Vermont in the Vermont's informed consent hearings. Nice to have you with us today, Dr. Fisher.
Nice to be here.
Could you please tell us what your original understanding of electroconvulsive therapy was in the process of informing you, as most other psychiatrists were informed, of its supposed safety and efficacy?
Well, during my residency, I was given information that ECT, electroconvulsive therapy, was safe and effective. This just didn't jive with my own observations and my own reading of the literature. and my own interviews of patients who had received the treatments, however.
Okay. Could you tell us why you're concerned about electropulsive therapy?
Well,
go through what you find is a legitimate reason for being hesitant about all openly accepting, as most people right now would accept it.
I'm not only not accept, I not only do not accept ECT, I think it's a highly dangerous procedure, and I'll tell you why. First of all, there's good evidence that it causes brain damage in animals that have been studied, and also autopsies of people who have died shortly after ECT. It's been shown that there is damage to the nerve cells and bleeding of the brain. Furthermore, neurologists have shown that the pattern of memory loss, disorientation, and temporary euphoria that follows ECT is the same as occurs after a closed head injury. The memory loss which occurs after ECT is very severe and in some cases can last for years. Even Dr. Harold Sackheim, a expert in the use of ECT, has written that it does cause permanent memory loss. And the memory loss can be so devastating to people that they have explained to me that they no longer remember raising their children. They cannot remember the experience of being a teacher. And these losses of memory create a trauma much more severe often than the trauma that preceded the ECT or led to their mental illness.
Why would you have this passion and the average psychiatrist not? What is it that you're aware of they're not?
Well, I pay a lot of attention to what people tell me and about their experience. I think some psychiatrists, other psychiatrists also, such as Dr. Peter Bragan, have written extensively about the damaging effects. Unfortunately, psychiatrists are split, and those who are opposed, at least 50% of psychiatrists are opposed to ECT. The 50%, though, that still advocate its use are the ones that are profiting from it. In fact, the only person who does not profit from the use of ECT is the patient themselves.
Have you paid attention, as many of us have, to the fact that most of the mainstream media has lined itself up with the pro-ECT psychiatrists?
I am aware that the mainstream media is often more pro-ECT, and unfortunately that's because a few psychiatrists, who, many of whom have controlling interests in the companies that produce the ECT machines, have control of the literature regarding ECT and basically of the APA's committee on ECT. So the major so-called expert opinions on this procedure are produced by the people who profit from ECT.
All right. Now, what would you suggest for people who want to educate those psychiatrists who are pro-ECT to be more aware that there's a legitimate dialogue going on?
Well, I believe the media needs to open up the discussion to both sides of the story. There needs to be a an airing of the facts and of the research. There are a number of research studies that have shown memory loss and brain damage. Also, a number of studies that have shown that it's not effective. The APA itself has stated that after 4 to 6 weeks, the effects of ECT wear off. They need to hear the testimony of individuals who have received ECT, and I have heard numerous testimonies of such individuals. Partly they come to me because I co-direct a center for advocacy of the rights of people labeled with mental illness. That's the National Empowerment Center. We're federally funded, and our mission is to bring this alternative information to the public and to the professionals so that they do not just receive their information from one source.
Well, I very much appreciate you being there. I just wish the media and mainstream media were more interested in looking at at the those people who advocate against it. They have not done that. Even though when the New York Times was doing a feature on electric pulsive therapy, I sent them a massive amount of material, none of which was ever returned or used.
Yes, it certainly is a crime that this information doesn't get out to the public, because the public needs to be adequately informed. They need to know what the damaging effects are, and they need to recognize that there are other sources of information.
How can people get your sourced?
Well, they can call our center by calling our 800 number, 1-800-POWER-2U, power, the number 2, the letter U. We have a website also, powertou.org, and on both of these, through both these sources, we provide information both about the damaging effects of ECT and also about alternative ways of healing and alternative ways of treating mental illness. We've done extensive research, and people often say, well, there is no alternative to ECT in certain cases. In fact, holistic health and a true healing relationship with people who have been through similar experiences can provide a type of healing that hospitals often don't turn to, because they either don't get reimbursement from insurance companies, or they are biased by the existing media and the existing so-called expert sources.
Could you give your number again, please?
Yeah, our number is 1-800-POWER-2U, power, the number 2, the letter U. Implicit in our number is the sense that each person should gain control over their own life, and that's the essence of recovery. I just want to share also, a woman yesterday spoke with me about her experience with ECT, and it highlights the drama of the damage that it causes. She had two courses of treatment of ECT, and she said, although the treatments occurred several years ago, she still cannot remember raising her children when they were young, and her depression continued even after the ECT. In a recent hospitalization, she was told, after having very brief treatment with an antidepressant, that she had to have ECT. And she refused and said she didn't want it. And still, on one of the mornings, she was told that she should have nothing to eat, that she was going to receive the ECT. There was a great deal of coercion. She resisted it, and they discharged her from the hospital. And her treating psychiatrist said that she would not treat her because she didn't receive the ECT, leaving her without any psychiatric care. And this is the coercive side of ECT is another factor that needs to be taken into account. People believe doctors and often are not given alternative information and not told that they have a choice.
Well, I appreciate you being on and sharing these insights. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Gary.
This is Dr. Dan Fisher, offering an alternative point of view. Let me go back to our commentary and take it as far as we can with time permitting within this program. I would like now to focus upon the long-term effects of electroconvulsive therapy on cognitive and social functioning, because that's crucial. After all, if you're having trouble on some level and you get electroconvulsive therapy and now you simply cannot function within the normal social setting, you can't work because you've lost the memory of what it was you did. You've lost your basic skills. You can't use a computer. You're a salesperson. You don't know what to sell. You don't know how to sell. You don't know how to approach people. You don't even remember what it was you were selling. You're a school teacher. You don't remember what you taught. All of your information about what you learn in school, graduate school, and years of training, gone. That's the part that you have not been told. The loss of one's life history, that is, loss of part of the self, is in itself a devastating handicap. But added to this unique quality of electroconvulsive therapy head injury are the cognitive defects associated with other types of traumatic brain injury. There is not now nearly enough research on the nature of electroconvulsive cognitive defects or of the impact of these deficits on social roles, non-employment, self-esteem, and identity, and long-term quality of life for survivors. There's only one study which examines how electroconvulsive therapy negatively affects family dynamics, by Dr. Warren. Warren found that electroconvulsive therapy survivors commonly forget the very existence of their husbands and children. For example, one woman who had forgotten she had 5 children was furious when she found out her husband had lied to her, telling her the children belonged to a neighbor. Husbands frequently use their wives' amnesia as an opportunity to reconstruct marital and family history to the husband's advantage. Clearly, Warren's study suggests that there is much to explore in this area. There is currently no research which addresses the question of how best to meet the rehabilitative and vocational needs of electroconvulsive therapy survivors. One such study, proposed but not implemented in the 1960s, is described in Dr. Morgan's research paper. Its hopeful conclusion was that, quote, with enough data, it may someday be possible to deal therapeutically with electroconvulsive therapy damaged patients, perhaps with some radically new approach to psychotherapy or direct re-education or modification of behavior, unquote. Has a generation later not come to pass? Funding sources such as at the National Institutes on Disability and Rehabilitation Research must be encouraged to sponsor such research. And the research which exists shows that sensitive psychometric testing always reveals cognitive defects in electroconvulsive therapy survivors. Even given the differences in available testing methods, the nature of these deficits has remained stable for 50 years. Dr. Shearer gave tests of memory function back in 1951, abstraction and concept formation to a group of survivors who had received 20 shocks. Using brief pulse and square wave current, the type that is standard today, and to a control group of patients who did not receive electroconvulsive therapy, he found that, quote, lack of improvement as between pre- and post-shock results may indicate that shock has injured the patient to the extent that he is unable to achieve his premorbid intellectual potentialities, even though he can shake off the intellectually debilitating effects of the psychosis, unquote. He concluded that, quote, harmful organic results in areas of intellectual function may nullify the partial benefits of the treatment, unquote. Now, mind you, that's 1951, over 50 years ago. So the same identical therapy used then as today was clearly showing you're going to destroy your intellect. Dr. Templer, Ruff, and Armstrong in 1973 found the performance on the Bender Gestalt test was significantly worse for persons who had received electroconvulsive therapy than for carefully matched controls who did not. Dr. Freeman, Weeks, and Kendall in 1980 matched a group of 26 electroconvulsive therapy survivors with controls who had not received it on a battery of 19 cognitive tests. Every single survivor was found to be, quote, significantly cognitively impaired, unquote. The researchers attempted to attribute the impairment to drugs or mental illness, but could not do so. They concluded that, quote, our results are compatible with the statement that electroconvulsive therapy causes permanent mental impairment. The interviews with survivors reveals almost identical deficits. Forgetting names, sidetracked, not able to focus, forgetting where they put things, poor memory, gets confused, is absent-minded at the job, difficulty remembering messages, gets messed up, mixed up when telling people things, etc. Templer and Velber in 1982 found permanent, irreversible cognitive defects in electroconvulsive therapy survivors given neuropsychological testing. Professors Taylor, Kudelinger, and Dean in 1985 found significant cognitive impairment after only 5 shock therapy. Quote, from their study, since cognitive impairment is such an important side effect of bilateral electroconvulsive therapy, it seems important to define as carefully as possible which aspects of the treatment are responsible for the deficit. Unquote. They concluded that it was causing brain damage in every single person receiving it. Now, although they did not prove their hypothesis about the role of an elevation in blood pressure, they said, quote, it's important to continue to search for the cause or causes of this impairment. If this is important as a side effect, meaning raised blood pressure, could be eliminated or even modified. But there is no separating the so-called therapeutic effects from the disabling cognitive effects. In a study in progress designed and implemented by members of the National Head Injury Foundation at SUNY at Stony Brook, with the same size sample as the Dr. Friedman and his associate study, used a sample, a questionnaire, to evaluate cognitive defects in both the acute and chronic organic brain syndrome stages. The study also elicits information about coping strategies. How do you cope with a problem? And about the amount of time it takes to accommodate to defects. All respondents in the study indicated they suffered from common symptoms of head injury, both during the year after electroconvulsive therapy and many, many years after that. The average number of years since electroconvulsive therapy for the respondents was 23 years. Now, here's what's important. Because last week at committee hearings, I heard psychiatrists say it's just in some small percentage, it is a transient memory impairment. And even one of the people who has now come around to supporting a challenge to electroconvulsive therapy started off by saying it, you know, well, it could be a few hours based upon what the psychiatrist has said. Here is what the actual study found. Quote, 80% were still finding impairment 23 years after they had received electroconvulsive therapy. Hardly a transient experience of a few hours. 23 years later. Only 1/4 of those people felt they had been able to adjust or even to compensate for the deficits by their own efforts. Most of those people who received electroconvulsive therapy during that 23 years said they were still struggling with the process. Of those few who felt they had adjusted or compensated, the average number of years to reach that, just to be able to cope, was 15 years after the therapy, just to be able to cope. When those who had adjusted or compensated were asked how they did it, the most frequently cited answer was, we work very hard on our own. Respondents were asked if they would have liked acknowledgement or help with their cognitive problems during the year after electroconvulsive therapy, and whether they would still like help regardless of how long ago they had been shocked. All but one of the respondents said they would have wanted help in the post-ECT year, and 90% said they still wanted help. In the last several years, with the increased availability of neuropsychological testing, increasing the number of ECT survivors have taken the initiative where researchers have failed and have been seeking out some form of alternative support. Patients' accounts of cognitive defects from diverse sources and across continents remains constant from the 1940s to now. If these people are imagining their deficits, as some shock doctors like to claim, oh, they're just making it up. It is unthinkable that patients over 50 years should all imagine exactly the same deficits when they haven't communicated with one another. One cannot read this account that I have read of these survivors without calling to mind the description of minor head injury in the National Head Injury Foundation brochure, The Unseen Injury, Minor Head Trauma. Quote, memory problems are common. You may be more forgetful of names, where you put things, appointments. It may be harder to learn new information or routines. Your attention span may be shorter. You may be easily distracted or forget things or lose your place when you have to shift back and forth between two things. You may find it harder to concentrate for long periods of time and become mentally confused. Even when reading, you may find it harder to find the right word or expression that you're looking for. You may think and respond more slowly, and it may take more effort to do the things that you automatically did before. You may find it more difficult to make plans, get organized, and set and carry out realistic goals, unquote. And then go over to what I have researched of what the electroconvulsive survivor says. Mind you, that was just about a minor head injury, not electroconvulsive therapy. Listen to see if this sounds familiar. Quote, this is from a whole group of electroconvulsive survivors, interviewed independently, not knowing one another. Quote, I have trouble remembering what I did this week. When I talk, my mind wanders. Sometimes I can't remember the right word to say, or coworkers' names, or I forgot what I wanted to say, and I have been to the movies that I can't remember going to. Unquote. Quote, I was organized, methodical person. I knew everything that I needed to do. I'm different now. I often can't find things. I become very scattered and forgetful. Unquote. These words eerily echo those of the electroconvulsive therapy survivors. 18 months after 4 shocks, one day, 3 things were missing. The poker, the paper, and something else I can't remember, unquote. I found the poker in the dustbin. I must have put it there without remembering, says one of the survivors. 1 year after 7 shocks, the following are some of the things that a person forgot. Quote, I forgot the names of people and places. When the title of a book is mentioned, I may have a vague idea that I've read it, but I can't remember a thing about it. The same applies to films. My family tells me the outlines, and I'm able to remember other things, but not them. I forgot to post letters and to buy small things, such as mending and toothpaste. I put things away in such safe places that when they are needed, it takes hours to find them. I forgot to brush my teeth for weeks, to bathe, to comb my hair. All of these survivors had incidents not recognizing familiar people. 1 year after 14 shocks, quote, there are many faces I see that I now know I should know quite a lot about, but I don't. I don't recall who these people are. I find I cannot adjust myself to these circumstances. 38 years later, one woman had 7 shock therapies 38 years ago. Here's what she says. Quote, I was shopping in a department store when a woman came over to me, said hello, and asked me how I was doing. I had no idea who she was or how she knew me. I couldn't help feeling embarrassed and helpless, as if I were no longer in control of my faculties. This experience was the first of many encounters which I would be unable to recall people's names in the context in which I knew them. Unquote. The deficits in storing and retrieving new information associated with electroconvulsive therapy may be severely and permanently impairing learning ability. And just as the National Head Injury brochure states, quote, often these problems are not encountered until a person returns to the demands of work, school, or home, unquote. As one said, quote, when I returned to classes, I found I couldn't remember material I'd learned earlier and that I was totally unable to concentrate. My only choice was to withdraw from the university. If there was one area in which I had always excelled, it was in school. I now felt like a complete failure, and that I'd never be able to return to university, unquote. Quote, some of the things I tried to study was like trying to read a book written in Russian. No matter how hard I tried, I could not get the sense of what the words and diagrams meant. I forced myself to concentrate, but it continued to approach gibberishness, unquote. Another person, in addition to destruction of entire blocks of my memories, I've continued to have considerable difficulty in my memory with regard to academic pursuits. To date, of embarrassing necessity, I've been forced to tape record all educational materials that require memorization. This has included basic classes in accounting and word processing. I was forced to retake accounting in 1983. Now I'm again forced to retake a basic one-semester course because I've forgotten it. And I was told, quote, you're an air brain. How can I explain that my struggles are due to electroconvulsive therapy, unquote. And what about rehabilitation? The only way that psychiatry currently is rehabilitating people who have had these severe problems is to give them, you guessed it, maintenance electroconvulsive therapy. So if they find that they are depressed by what they have forgotten, shock them again so they'll forget about what they had forgotten. Or medications. I'm Gary Nall. This brings us up to the end of another program in our series, ongoing, special in-depth investigative report on abuses in psychiatry, electroconvulsive therapy, a second opinion.